Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, please, if you have your Bible with you. A very familiar passage. I make no apology for that, but you will be familiar with this story and familiar with the truths that it brings to us. Matthew 25, and we are starting at verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And amen. Our message tonight starts with a solemn warning. It starts in the verse that I finished the reading with, where it says, "Watch," or "Be expectant," or "Be on guard," or "Be on tender hooks, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." What a challenge. Such a challenge affects every single person in this building tonight, and every single person listening, either by the internet or our CD ministry. Because if you're a Christian tonight, if you're saved, you don't know when Jesus Christ will come. And we have to ask if we're living in the expectation of it. Or if he had to come tonight, would we be embarrassed and ashamed? I do believe that there will be many who always thought that Jesus would come back, but never thought of it being imminent, never thought of it being soon. And so they live whatever way they like, and they will not only be caught up, they'll be caught on. Caught on. And so I say to you tonight, if you're a Christian, I call on you to put aside every restraint, every excuse, every hindrance, and live for God. Of course, this challenge to watch is also applicable if you're unsaved in their meeting tonight. You're not a Christian. I say to you, don't know when Jesus Christ will come. And when he does come, the day of gospel opportunity will close forever. It will be too late to believe. It will be too late to trust. It will be too late to repent. And so I call on you to flee to Christ tonight, to rush while his arms are open, and to run while the door is wide. And so this challenge affects every single one of us. You imagine tonight if there was a knock on the door during the service and one of the deacons went out and the next thing the police arrive. They come up to the front of the church and they speak to me and I say, "The police have just announced we have to vacate the building. They have found a suspicious package and it's time to get out." What would you do? You see, the deacons, and the elders, we have a procedure of what to do in such a scenario. We know what we're to do, and Alec Kinghorn has put us through our paces, and we know where to gravitate to, and who checks the rooms, and we know what to do. Would you sit on and say, "Well, I'll not worry"?
Well, you say, oh, it's nothing to bother me about. I'm sure it'll be all right.
No, you'd be up and you'd be saying, where do I go? What way do I head? I want to be safe. Imagine tomorrow you got a phone call to visit your doctor. And you didn't have to wait a few days. You didn't have to wait a week or a fortnight. You could go just now. And you think, my, that's unusual. Doesn't often happen. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor sitting across from you is not as jovial and as happy as he normally is. He's got a frown, he's anxious, he's worried, and he says to you, you know, your tests have come back. And I'm a wee bit concerned. And I have a letter that I've drafted and signed. And it's a letter for the hospital, and I want you to leave here, and I want you to go straight to the hospital to have this seen to, because I'm concerned. When do you go to the hospital? Do you go home and have a cup of tea and say, well, I'll go next week, or I'll go next, or there's a wee area in my diary next month, and I'll go during those a couple of days when I don't really have too much of, No. You get into your car and you're straight up the road. And you've got the letter. And you can't wait to get in to get your mind put at rest. And you say, look, the doctor sent me up immediately. And there's the letter. And I have to get it seen to today. Yeah. I am not the PSNI, nor am I the GP. But I am a servant of God. And as a servant of God, I call on you tonight to have that kind of urgency in our evening service. Just as if there was a suspicious package found, or just if there was a letter from your GP for the hospital, that you would have that kind of urgency about the gospel tonight. That you will seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Imagine I went up tonight, it'll be a bit silly maybe in the dark, but maybe tomorrow go up to Port Stewart Strand. And there it is, stretching out there in front of the sea. And someone says to me, Pastor, there's five little flecks of iron in the beach somewhere. Could you find them? Oh, where would you start? My hands are too clumsy. If I pick up a few grains of sand, there's maybe 200 or 300 or 400, 500 maybe grains of sand. Trying to find five wee flecks of iron in a beach is well nigh impossible. Where would I start? But if I had a powerful magnet, what I could do is I could scan over the top of the sand. You know what the magnet would do? It would draw up those iron filings. There'd be a rumbling. And there one would go up. Another one. And before you know it, as I scanned the beach, those wee flecks of iron would come to the top and we'd have it. What's the application? Tonight, God has a magnet. And maybe you feel that you're just one out of all the 7.6 billion people on planet Earth, and God doesn't know about me, and sure I'm a nobody. But God moves by His Spirit, His magnet. And He goes over a congregation like this. He goes over a people. He goes over a population. And He draws men and women. He stirs their heart. He convicts them of sin. He stirs them up to think about spiritual things, and they're drawn to Him. Amazing, isn't it? God is moving by His Spirit. His Spirit sweeps over a population, convicting and convincing and disturbing and unsettling and calling. Oh, there's a sense of urgency. I want you to notice four things in our passage tonight. Just picking out wee things. I'm not dealing it as a whole. I'm just picking out wee things in this familiar story. I want you to notice, first of all, a word to alert us. Verse 6 says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." A word to alert us. You see, in chapters 23 and 24, the Lord has been painting a picture about the dramatic events of the last days. He says, whenever you see these things happen, whenever you see this scenario starting to take place, you know that I'm coming again soon. What kind of things? Well, you can read it when you go home. But you'll find that the last days will be marked by false teachers. The last days will be marked by deceivers and wars and threats. The last days will be marked by international tension and famine and disease. The last days will be marked by murder and persecution and apathy in the church and an increase in satanic activity. And as you go through those two chapters of 23 and 24, you can start to tick the boxes and you'll find that he's describing life in 2017. I tell you, Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how long this world can keep going if left to its own devices. Global warming, increase in the level of the water, the deserts are expanding. So many things are going wrong. And we find countries now dividing. And now in chapter 25, the Lord declares, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. The one who went to Bethlehem that first Christmas. The one who was Emmanuel, God with us. The one who taught and healed and inspired the people that he walked amongst. The one who was arrested, the one who was tortured, the one who was crucified. The one who was the very Lamb of God, dying a substitutionary death, a death on behalf of another. He was taking your place. Well, now 2,000 years ago, he was on the cross, taking the punishment of your sin, settling the issue of your sin. But he's coming back again. And when he does, the opportunity to repent and trust will be gone forever. Here is a word to alert us. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming. Ah, but there's something else in our passage. I want you to see not only a word to alert us, but a word to arouse us. Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, "And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Do you ever have days like that? There was a few days last week when there seemed to be just a wave of exhaustion came over me. And I knew if I sat down, I'd be asleep. I knew if I tried just to relax, I would be out for the count. I just was drained. I was emotionally and mentally weary. In Matthew 25, these girls slumbered and slept. Picture of humanity. Asleep to their condition. Asleep to the need around them. Asleep to the return of the bridegroom. Notice, all these girls were religious. Speaks about them having lamps. And lamps in the Bible speaks of profession. Profession. Had their lamps. But some have no light. They have lamps, but no light. They had no oil that speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. They looked apart. They seemed authentic. But whenever it came to the bit, they had nothing to shine. They had no light. Isn't it a sad reflection of our spiritual situation? In 2017, there's those with oil, there's those without oil, there are those that are Christian and those that are not Christian, and they're all asleep to the reality of the bridegroom's return, fast asleep. Many churches no longer preach it. Many Christians don't seem to believe it. Many Christians don't believe that it's ever going to happen, but I believe the Lord Jesus could return at any moment, at any time. The judge is still at the door. And the day is still at hand. And there are no prophecies that I am aware of that need to be fulfilled in the prophetic calendar before Jesus Christ comes to meet us in the air. Christian, wake up to the urgency of the hour. Non-Christian, wake up to the urgency of the hour. The only distinction between these girls was whether or not they had the oil, whether or not they had that which speaks of the Holy Spirit. And it's exactly the same today. It's nothing about denomination. It's nothing about where you go on a Sunday morning. It's got nothing to do with who your parents are and how they brought you up. It's everything to do about whether or not you have the Holy Spirit resident in your heart and life. You have the oil. The only thing that matters. And if I hadn't been killed along the road today, for me, it would have been absent from the body to be present with the Lord. What about you? You receive the oil, you receive the Holy Spirit when you realize your need. And you believe that Jesus Christ can meet that need and you trust Him with all your heart. You see, there are some in our service tonight, we'd love to debate the theology of the Lord's return. They love to debate it. And some others would like to argue about the sequence of the Lord's return rather than living their life in the light and in the anticipation of the Lord's return. Billy Graham, I think it was, who said the subject of the second coming has never been popular to anybody but the true believer. The fact of the Lord's return is not a reason for stargazing. Rather, it is a motivation for working in the power of the Holy Ghost and trying to reach others. A word to alert us. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Verse 5, a word to arouse us. They all slumbered and slept. Hope you're not asleep to the Lord's return. Thirdly, verse number 10, a word to alarm us. It says at the end of that verse, and the door was shut. It was shut finally, permanently, immovably, dramatically. Whenever this door is shut, no locksmith will open the door. There will be no spare key. You're locked out. I don't know if you've ever gone to get money out of an auto bank. You go along and you put your card in and you think you know your PIN number. No, you're sure you know your PIN number. You're 100% sure you know the PIN number. You make sure nobody's looking and you put in your 4 digits. It's not recognized. I must have put it in wrong. And you put the 4 numbers in again, not recognized. Now you're panicking. The sweat breaks. And there's a queue behind you. And they're wondering what's wrong. Have they no money? And this time you do it slowly, pressing distinctly the numbers, and suddenly you're locked out of your accounts. And they snatch your card. And you think, oh no. And all the hassle and all the bother. That's not what we're talking about here. This door being shut is not just an inconvenience or a hassle. No, this door being shut is the sealing of your eternal destiny. It is where you will end up for all eternity. The door is shut. If you're in, you'll be in heaven forever. If you're outside, you're in hell forever. It's settled forever. It's not just an inconvenience. And this could happen tonight. That the door is shut. That is a word to alarm us. Unsaved, this could happen to you tonight. And for you, the door is shut, never to be opened again. Christian, can you see from this passage the importance and the urgency of evangelism? The door's going to shut. Christian, can you understand from this passage the importance of the place of prayer? Why the door's going to shut. And your loved ones and mine that are outside of the family of God will be shut out forever. The bridegroom is coming. Our generation is asleep. And the door will be shut. I asked one of our students in the fellowship back at exam time, May time, maybe April, May time. And I said to them, how's the studying going? And his reply was interesting. He said this, Pastor, I work better in a deadline-induced panic. I work better in a deadline-induced panic. That was a brilliant line. Huh? Some people are like that. Some people like to leave it to the last minute. Leave it to the last opportunity. All the revision is done the night before the exam and they don't really worry about it. Dear friend, this is your eternity. Virginia Moyer died at 1903. American poet. You know what she wrote? O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy left its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Don't leave it to the last minute. A word to alert us. Verse 6. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming. God declares it. A word to arouse us. Verse 5. They all slumbered and slept. And that is true of the churches by and large today. And it's true of our society today. They are fast asleep with regards to the Lord's return. Thirdly, a word to alarm us. Verse 10. And the door was shut. Finally. A word to assure us. Look at verse 10. A word to assure. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. That good? That's assurance for me. What an assurance. You see, I'm ready. I have repented from my sin and I have placed my trust and my confidence in Jesus Christ and on his death for me at the cross of Calvary. And because I've trusted in him, because I've repented and I'm living for him, I'm going in. I'm going in. Tell me, will you be in? I'm going to see what it's going to be like. Going to walk those streets of gold. Going to see those gates of pearl. Going to see that jewel encrusted foundation. Going to see it. Why? Because I'm ready. I'm ready. No matter when it comes, I'm ready. Are you ready? down verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You don't know. And so there is that word to alert us, the bridegroom cometh. There is that word to arouse us. They all slumbered and slept. There is that word to alarm us. And the door was shut. But there is that word to assure us. Them that were ready went in with him to the marriage. You know, whenever I was a child, I loved cartoons of Popeye, the Sailor Man. Now, I know you're looking at me as if you don't know what that is, but I know you know. Popeye, the Sailor Man. And his girlfriend was Olive Oil. And his sometimes friend, but oft times rival, was Pluto. And then, apart from Pluto, there was the wee baby, and she was Sweet Pea. Every cartoon of Popeye had the same format. It went something like this. Popeye was getting hammered by Pluto. And he was getting hammered and hammered. And then whenever it seemed all was lost, Popeye would reach into his coat and he would bring out a can of spinach and he would burst it asunder, he would swallow the spinach, and all of a sudden got the strength, and he won the day. That was sort of it. And as a child, I used to think, why did he leave it to the last minute? Why did he not have a balanced diet? And take a wee bit of spinach with each meal, so that whenever Pluto came along, he was always ready, and always strong enough to deal with the opposition. Why did he leave it to after he was hammered? I never got an answer. Tell me, why do you leave salvation to the last minute? Why? Why do you leave it till there's a crisis? Why do you leave it till you're in a hospital bed? Why do you leave it when the breath is leaving the body? No, the time to get saved is now. The time to trust Christ is now. To be prepared for a soon return. And the magnet of God is on. Sweeping by His Spirit, convicting, concerning, disturbing, unsettling, as He moves through this congregation. He stops with you. And suddenly there's a tug at your heart. A word to alert us. The bridegroom's coming. A word to arouse us. They all slumbered and slept. I have slept about these things. I've never thought of them, never considered them. A word to alarm us. And the door was shut. Well, it's shut for you tonight. Praise God, there is a word to assure us. And they that were ready went in with him end of the marriage. It's great to be ready. And I call on you tonight. Don't leave it to the last minute. But rather tonight, come and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Repent of sin. It means to turn your back on it. Say, with God's help, I'm never going to live that way again. And believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Trust Him. Surrender to Him. So that you'll be ready
when that hour comes. May God help you to come tonight. May God bless His word.